This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good afternoon and welcome in to Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. It's Wednesday, January 27th, 2021. We are happy to be with you, keeping you company until 6:30 alongside DRMGP. Danny, how are you?
Strong, my friend. Strong. Feeling much better than I was a few hours ago. You can follow me at Funny Danny on Twitter, Grant at Grant H. Paulson. I posted a picture. It looked like Baby Groot, basically. It looked like one of the wands from Harry Potter that my wife pulled out of my foot. I had a hideous splinter. On that, you know, the ball of your foot that's underneath your big toe, whatever the thing on the outside of your foot is, like it's not quite the ball, but it's like below your pinky toe, whatever you call that. I stepped on an absolute piece of timber last night at like 3 o'clock in the morning when my youngest son was up, and it's been hurting like hell all day. And she pulled that bad Jackson out, and I posted a picture of it. So it's out, and I'm loving every minute of it. I feel good. A little sports night last night with some dramatics. The Caps got a win in a way that I cannot quite figure out. They had like seven people that I've ever heard of play, and it was bad for the Wizards again.
I have more questions about your foot, though, because it was the weirdest pre-show meeting in the history of the Grant and Danny radio program. You and I and our buddy Tom Plyman, who's our producer, were all on the phone, and you cautioned us that if there was wincing or weird noises, or if at some point something odd happened,
if I yelped,
probably because your wife was using a needle and pliers and string and I don't even know what other devices to pull that Baby Groot stick that you referred to out of your foot, like it was the wand used for Expecto Patronum in Harry Potter. Did I just blow
what if
your
Harry
mind?
Potter was from Baltimore? That would.
I always imagine him sounding like Willow. Is that not how he sounds? Expecto Patronum, Mad Mob again. Is that not a thing?
First of all, I love your conflating. You are great. And all of a sudden now he's doing Wingardium Leviosa. That's, I don't know why this is the deep dive, but I'm having fun with it. But your first iteration of the spell sounded like I still wish Ray Lee could come back and play for us. He was nasty. It basically sounded like you were from Timonium.
If Harry Potter did a show on WNST and said Expecto Patronum, that's what you're looking for. I still don't know how that happens. How do you get a splinter in your house, not outdoors, while feeding a child? It doesn't make any sense. And you're going to tell me wood floors, and that's not a good answer. People have wood floors all the time. They walk around on wood floors constantly. I've never heard of anyone getting a stick in their foot.
Yeah, we've been here, I can't do the math, probably like 16 months at this residence here. And that has happened before. Now, I have fallen and broken my rib here, which is very, very awkward. That's the thing that I did. How did someone do that falling down the stairs? You're just old. You're just an old man that just can't really hang anymore. So it's dark. I'm groggy. I'm kind of shuffling my feet. Just the exact right angle, or wrong angle in this case. And that thing bored in there. It was basically like Tremors. The giant gross worm from Tremors rolling through the underground, taking cars down and making victims of everybody. Oh, it was so painful.
I won't say underrated, extremely properly rated. Everybody knows how terrible a splinter feels. You just don't experience it that frequently, thankfully. But I will say still, among the things that could happen to you at any minute, and ideally only happen to you once every several months, the stubbing of the toe square on is just, as far as just normal things that can happen, there's no need for a doctor, you don't have to go to the hospital, there's no surgery required, there's no blood. Things that just day in and day out are possibilities at any moment in your home. The stubbing of the toe is still the worst thing that can happen to you.
So, I don't know, man. It's more frequent than certainly getting a giant piece of, I don't know what you would call it, like the redwood forest in my foot, the way that it happened. My wife was using a needle to, like, basically dig around in there, rooting around in there. Then she used some scissors to, like, cut off excess skin, which was ridiculously painful. She's got rubbing alcohol going, and then the actual tweezers to get in there once enough of it had, like, poked its evil head out so that she could rip it out. So I'll tell you, that was pretty unpleasant. I don't know. I mean, I've stubbed my toe before. I think I'd rather stub my toe in a normal fashion. Not broken it, because that's awful. I think I would have rather stubbed my toe than had her perform minor surgery, field medicine style, at the kitchen table while you, me, and Brock talked about the Caps.
You may have just convinced me, and this shows a lack of passion on my end in my argument. Because I can watch football for 10 years, and it's going to be hard to convince me of something where I'm dug in. But I think you might have just swung me with that little 20-second argument that you posed. Because the stubbing of the toe is painful, but it's over when it's over. As soon as that feeling goes away, it's like, you know, taking a soccer ball to the junk. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the worst feeling in the world. You double over. You're down on all fours for a few minutes. But 20 minutes later, it happened, and you can barely remember it, right? You've moved along. The having wood inside your skin, the your having foot. A stick jammed inside of your foot, that doesn't just go away. That throbs. There's an issue. That's not something that you just put in the rearview mirror until that thing is out. So I get it, and I'm happy that you're happy, and I'm happy that you've solved this dilemma.
Feeling good.
We're ready for a radio show. John Carlson is with us at 2:45. As you said, a great day to have Carly on after a big win for the Caps last night. And the voice of the Detroit Lions, Dan Miller, who's a local guy who was in this market for a long time, does a really good job calling Lions games, one of the better play-by-play guys in the NFL. He's going to be on the show coming up in 50 minutes at 3 o'clock. We're going to ask him about Matthew Stafford. And I want to get to the bottom of why the fan base in Detroit seems to be over Matthew Stafford. I've been listening to 97.1 in Detroit, The Ticket, on radio.com off and on the last week or so. And it's like they're celebrating that he's leaving. And it makes me, on the outside looking in, Danny, as a single person, it makes me think that this is some married person that just can't wait to get back into the dating game, and they're forgetting how frustrating and annoying it is. They're forgetting about picking up the bill and all these other things that have to happen. I think they're taking for granted the relationship they've been in for a while with Matthew Stafford.
The alternative is Dan Orlovsky running out of the end zone. You know what I mean? Like, it's bizarre to me that and this goes to sort of general sports feelings of people where the quarterback gets too much credit, too much blame, et cetera. When things go poorly, things go well, whatever. And they're looking at records. By the way, under Jim Caldwell, 11-5, 7-9, and 2-9-7s. Matt Stafford was there for those. Was he good then all of a sudden and then bad the other times? I don't know. I think that guy's pretty good. Is he better than Pat Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers? No. Is he better than Tom Brady? No, of course not. Is he better than 80% of the league pretty much every single year? Yeah. You need to be thanking your lucky stars you have a competent NFL quarterback that can help you. The wasteland is awful. Just ask the Bears. Just ask the former Redskins, now Washington football team. The wasteland is a place of abject misery and low ceilings. The reason the Detroit Lions haven't won, barely at all, with the exception of a 3 out of 4 year blip where they were okay, is not Matt Stafford, in my opinion. So you're right. Please, hate him all you want. Celebrate all you want. I can't wait for him to come to town.
Yeah, more on Matthew Stafford next hour. Again, we're talking to Miller coming up at 3 o'clock. So let's start with last night's games. You had a winner and a loser in D.C. So if you're like me and you're using your FanDuel Sportsbook app, and you tried to get your super booster to get some extra odds last night that both the Caps and the Wiz were going to end up in the win column, the basketball team didn't take care of you. But we'll start on the ice. As fun a win for the Capitals as I can remember. There have been regular season wins, playoff wins, Stanley Cup wins, whatever. There have been great moments as a fan over the years, obviously. All this organization has done since I was a teenager is provide me joy and give me great pride in the product. But as far as early regular season wins, just normal, nothing kind of games, it doesn't get a whole lot better than last night. They are playing without Ovechkin and Kuznetsov and Orlov and Samsonov. They're also now without Tom Wilson, who got hurt. So they went into a game against an Islanders team, Danny, that is the hardest team in the NHL to score against. In fact, former Capital, Varlamov in net, had given up one goal in three games at a decimal of a goals against average. And now you're without all of this firepower. I don't know how you're going to get any shots. I don't know how you're going to score any goals. I'll take the under in the game, but the Islanders are clearly going to win. You're not playing the Buffalo Sabres anymore, so you're not probably not going to get a point. You're going to lose in regulation for the first time. Then in game, they lose Nicholas Backstrom. They lose Lars Eller to a pretty dirty hit against the boards. And they still won. It was amazing to watch last night as their former third-string goalie at the start of camp, Vitek Vanacek, got another win. He was marvelous with 32 more saves. He's got over 75 saves last two games. John Carlson, who's going to be a guest with us coming up in 30 minutes, scored a goal. They got a game-tying goal from a guy named Daniel Sprong. And the game-winning goal for the second time in two games, right here on the Capitals Radio Network, as heard last night, Justin Schultz, the new defenseman, making his presence felt and playing hero.
Back along the near wing, Dylan Speed ahead now to Schultz. Give and go off the wall. Schultz shoots and scores! Oh my, and a pretty play off the wall! Schultz from the far circle beats Varlamov. It's 3-2 Washington!
Well, Schultz has been doing a great job the last couple of games, jumping up on the play, gets a nice little feed across. As he's up there and beats Varlamov to the far side. But what a play. Had a lot of
Tell him about it, Ken Zabber. Thank you very much for the expertise and the call on the Capitals radio network last night. But I'll tell you right now, Danny, I haven't felt that proud of this team in a long time. That group last night, it was the Hershey Bears with TJ Oshie, basically. And they found a way. It was amazing to watch.
You got to go back to their Stanley Cup run against Pittsburgh, right? When there's no Backstrom and you know everybody's suspended, and there's a bunch of guys hurt, and it's dudes that you know. Well, he's played them in the regular season a couple years ago. He had two shifts, and that was in there. And of course, like guys like Nathan Walker, who I don't know where Nathan Walker is right now. He's just somewhere being handsome in Australia. But like that guy plays effective ice time for 20 minutes. Just one of those charmed life things. This game will be a footnote in a couple months, and you know maybe we'll look back on it and you would go, remember that night that they won that game where it was Carly and Justin Schultz that were the main goal scorers and they had nobody healthy and everyone was on COVID suspension or whatever, and it was a lot of fun.
Couple defensemen in their fourth liner, Daniel Sprong.
Yeah. You know, just a normal game. People won't remember it like they'll remember some of those Pittsburgh games. But I'm telling you, I'm with you. I'm going, if you could somehow get a point out of this last night, even though the Islanders haven't been particularly good to start the season, whatever. You don't have your NHL hockey team here. Everybody that's good is not playing. Anybody that names an ever off is out for you. You have no shot. Maybe get a point. Maybe play a bunch of defense, pocket a bunch of shots, see if you can get out of there 2-2. The fact that they won that game is really cool. Just a lot of fun.
But both teams weren't able to win.
No.
Because the Wizards fell to 3-10, and they did so in as ugly a fashion as you're going to find. They were 5-for-26 from distance. Most teams in the NBA aren't having all that much trouble hitting threes. Someone needs to help the Wizards out in that regard. Losers of 3-of-13. Look, the Russell Westbrook thing is not working right now. I assume he's hurt. I hope he's hurt.
He's not right.
He has been really bad. He has 163 shots and 163 points so far. Six more turnovers last night in his 28 minutes. Bradley Beal was turning the ball over too much, trying to do too much as well. He at least poured in 33 points and is a more efficient offensive player. But it's the same story all the time with the Wizards, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
For 3.5 quarters, it's nip and tuck, and they go back and forth, and it's fun to watch, and they're semi-entertaining. And I know they're undermanned. I get it. I know you're going to run out of gas, but inexcusable to lose 107-88 in a game that you were in with 6 minutes to go. And John Wall and the Rockets just took over in the final few minutes.
Gross. Just a gross game. I mean, they, as you said, they were out of gas, but it's also when you're creating open looks for Zach Bunga, and you know you're hoping that Jerome Robinson can create for you when in moments where Bradley Beal is not necessarily available or is being double teamed or overloaded. This group doesn't have it right now. And here's the thing: people are pretending that they were, they're missing all their guys, and they are. They're missing a bunch of guys, but it's not as if they were winning before either. It's not as if things were going great when they had Thomas Bryant and Davis Bertans and everyone else. Of course, they're going to be better with Rui and Troy Brown giving them minutes, etc. But this group wasn't good to begin with, and this has been exacerbated. It's really about, to me, Russell Westbrook. I don't think he's right. I think that quad is bothering him, and I think maybe he has something else. And people aren't going to want to hear that just in terms of an excuse. I think it's an explanation. I think he doesn't have the same consistent start-stop and some of the same explosive tendencies that we've seen so much from him. He's never been a good shooter, and that's not who he is, but he can create more and create better when he's right. So I probably would just shut him down, to be honest with you. But this is getting ugly in a hurry, man. You could see Bradley Beal last night wearing some of these losses. This was supposed to be different, and it's not. We've done this dance before, and I don't know if he's fed up, but he's getting there.
Last night was particularly painful for the Wizards, not just because you fall to 3-10 and for some of the reasons with their own personnel that you're talking about, but John Wall, 24 minutes, 24 points, finished in the fourth quarter strong as Beal and Westbrook and the Wiz ran out of gas. And then after the game, he made it very clear that he had no problem getting motivated.
I generally was going, man. I just feel like those guys, I know I did my things off the court that I apologize for, that I could have been better with. But the love that I have for that community in D.C. and the fans there that love me since for 10 years, I have nothing but love for those guys. But I just feel like their organization thought I was done. No matter how much hard work I put in over the summer, they came and watched me. I thought they thought I was done. And that's why I came out and did what I did.
AT&T Sportsnet Southwest last night. You're buying what he's selling. I don't necessarily think that that's true, in the sense that I guess if his point is they thought he wouldn't ever be John Wall again, okay, maybe. And I'm of the belief that he'll never be John Wall again. But if he is saying they never thought he was going to play again, they invested a lot of time and energy, and everything they ever said publicly was the opposite of that. So he obviously saw the signs behind the scenes that I didn't. But he seems to think that they gave up and moved on from him.
Yeah, so if the point is, they in their evaluation, he's not going to be John Wall ever again, he's right about that. I think that's exactly what motivates you and leads you to make this trade. Now, the idea that he's got some sort of grudge, it's hard for me to kind of accept, given how much work and how much patience and how much care they took in helping him rehabilitate.
The max, and the super max and the triple max and the max.
Yeah.
The Max Scherzer contract. I mean, what do you
not rushing
what
him back last year? Yeah, the diligent work that went in, and it was always we are going to take our time with this and give him the best possible chance to return and be himself and recover from all these injuries, not just this Achilles thing, but everything else. So, in the assessment of the organization, and it's my assessment now, it could be proven wrong. John Wall could be one of the really two guys in the history of this league to come back and be every bit as effective or have a similar game when they've had this Achilles injury. Nobody else has. Dominique Wilkins reinvented himself, and that's the list. Everyone from LaPhonso Ellis to Maurice Taylor to Elton Brand to go up and down the list. That Achilles thing is a death knell for basketball players and their careers. If Wall reinvents himself and finds a way to get by without that same level of explosion that he obviously demonstrated when he was here, then it'll be egg on the Wizards' face and egg on mine. I just don't think that's possible. I don't think it's sustainable. You could see even last night, in a nip-and-tuck game, he's only playing 24 minutes as their kind of lead player. He's not the guy that can go 38 minutes up and down full court anymore. And I know maybe they're easing him in, but still, I mean, it sort of the ancillary signs tell you. And because he's able to beat Garrison Matthews to the hoop a couple times, I would hold off on crowning victory or anything definitive there.
He averaged 17 points and 5 assists coming into the game, and he was fine in the game. It's fine. The Wizards are terrible. They're 3-10. I care a lot less about whatever he is in Houston, and I think he'll be okay. I think him getting back to what he was before is still very, very difficult. I care about this Russell Westbrook situation that they have to figure out. Part of the reason why I was ready to – I'm still a fan that they made the trade was I thought that the Westbrook deal would be more movable. His contract would be more tradable because he has something left, and he's not playing like that right now. And like you, I just don't think he's healthy, but – they better hope that's the case, because it has been ugly to this point. We can get into that a little bit later on in the show in more detail. There's a lot to chew on today, including nobody getting into the Hall of Fame. The Professional Baseball Writers Association shutting everybody out yesterday. But next, our first glimpse at Super Bowl 55, the initial betting line, and whether or not it's moved. Why is the spread reading the way that it is? We'll get to that next on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I think it really helps them. You know, normally when you get to town at the Super Bowl, everybody's pulling and tugging. You try to get everything done the week before. And then when you hit town, you got all the media obligations and your practice and your game plans are all put in. I think it's a great advantage for them. It's just an away game. You know, they get to do their normal prep just like we do. Nobody's going to get tied up in all that stuff.
Bruce Arians, the head coach of the Tampa Bay Bucks, who are playing the Super Bowl in their home stadium next weekend. Something no team has ever done before in the first 54 iterations of this game. That's an interesting angle on them getting to play at home and how that'll influence and impact the game. A lot of people have been saying that the Bucks are lucky because they're going to have a little bit of a home field advantage. Bruce Arians is kind of going the other way with this, and you could make the case he's just trying to lower the expectations for his team a little bit. But his point is, and there's something to be said for this, this is a madhouse of a week with distractions and people hitting you up normally for tickets, maybe not as much of that, but you know, you're getting a million texts and people are coming into town. And while some of that's diminished this year, there is something to be said for the Chiefs flying mostly cross-country, not having to worry maybe about as much of that insulated in their hotels as the Bucks, who are going to be in their home neighborhoods, going and running errands and still around their wives and kids at times. I'm guessing Arians will try to combat that, Danny, get them away from their houses and get them as if they're cross-country, you know, staying confined in a hotel room for a few nights.
Yeah, it's an interesting perspective is what I would say. I hadn't thought of that. Is what I'll tell you. I just can't believe that beats playing the Super Bowl at home. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not as much of a slam dunk as you might think it is. That's as far as I'm willing to go. His point about, well, this is just another road game for Kansas City. Well, no, it's not. They got the same level of distraction that everyone else. People descending. Now, it's not going to be the same, obviously, as a normal Super Bowl week plus lead up would be, because as you mentioned, pandemic related things. But still, you've got all the texts and the distractions and the normal, you know, waves of stuff being thrown at you, and you've got to travel. And travel logistics stink when it comes to COVID and everything else, right? I would much rather, if you, and I bet you Bruce Arians would say the same thing. Bruce, would you rather play this Super Bowl at your home stadium, or would you rather go to Pasadena? I bet you'd say Tampa Bay. I bet you'd say stay at home. It's better, but it may not be by the Grand Canyon gap that I thought it was.
It might also be whatever you make out of it, too. If you decide that this is an advantage, it probably becomes one. And if you want to make it into a disadvantage, you could probably work your mindset enough to think that it is. I think it's probably a, you know, what do you see it as? How are you viewing this? Whether it's for Arians or for Andy Reid, either of these two teams. One thing that's strange to me, though, is when I saw the initial line for the Chiefs favored by 3 points over the Bucks, I was really surprised that line wasn't bigger and they weren't 4 or 5 point favorites in the game. But initially, when it came out, everybody said, well, that's going to move. You know, Kansas City within a few days is going to be a 4 point favorite, a 5 point favorite, and it still hasn't happened. Almost every book I looked at just before this segment, the Chiefs are still only favored by 3 points. And I get that the Bucks were 11-5, and they've got Tom Brady, who's gunning for his 7th Super Bowl, and they are battle-tested. They upset the Saints. They upset the Packers. They have won 3 consecutive road games, for what that's worth, in this COVID season on their way to the Super Bowl. It's not like you're playing against a team that doesn't belong, but I am really surprised. A couple people have said, well, they played in the regular season, and it was only a 3-point game. That is very misleading. Yes, it was a 27-24 final, but if you remember that game, and I remember watching it, I remember exactly what I was wearing and where I was sitting. It wasn't that long ago. The Chiefs were up by 17 points, and it looked like they were about to blow out the Bucks by 75. And Tampa Bay came back in the second half, and the Chiefs kind of let up a little bit, and it was a weird second half of that game. And in the end, it ended up being close. And at the end of the game, Tony Romo even basically said, like, the Bucks just figured something out. I think they're going to go on a run now. And he was right. But that game was not that close for like 2.5 quarters. What do you think about the 3-point spread? Are you surprised by it?
So yes, is my short answer. But I thought of some explanations and I kind of started to come around on this because I approached this from, how did we get here? Right? What's the difference? And so I'm looking at the November Tampa Bay Bucks. Remember when they lost three of five games in November because they ended up having 5 November games. By virtue of just of how the calendar worked, they eked out a win against the Giants. Remember that one where you go, what the hell's the matter with Tampa? That's not good. Got the doors blown off by the Saints. Played well against Carolina as Carolina was falling apart, but lost to the Rams and couldn't muster much. Lost to the Chiefs, and as you said, were out of that game and came kind of storming back at the very end, but for 3 quarters of it weren't competitive. And that group was the group that we're going, well, they're 7-5. We think they're still going to make the playoffs, but it doesn't look great. And Arians and Brady aren't on the same page, et cetera. You know, bye week comes. Since then, now granted, a lot of their opponents have been awful. Vikings, nothing to write home about. Falcons stink. Lions stink. Falcons, again, both stink. But they've woodshedded teams, and they've been a different group since then. Since that bye week, they've ripped off 7 straight wins, and the way that they're doing it, yes, it's by throwing the football, spreading it out, but this defense has been turning people over. This defense has been pressuring the quarterback. All of a sudden, the recipe to beat Kansas City is here. Now, again, I still think the spread would have been 5.5 or maybe 4.5 or kind of working its way up. But I think they're looking at how hot Shaq Barrett is right now. Jason Pierre-Paul is a factor. Devin White is a freak. You look at that secondary and how well that they've played at times. The difference in the game against Green Bay to me was how well their pass rush was able to get home against a really good offensive line. Kansas City, normally that, but they're going to be without some guys. I think that's why the spread is where it is. Because, again, instinctively, I'm with you, and I'm going, well, it should be a little bit higher because Kansas City is just such a damn juggernaut. But I think they're looking at the way Tampa Bay has played here lately, and they said, not so fast. We still like Kansas City, but Tampa Bay can stay in this thing.
It might also just be a respect thing when you get this far that the opponent is really good, too. The Bills were only 3-point dogs to the Chiefs last week, remember? And I didn't think for a minute at any point last week that Buffalo was going to win that football game. I took Kansas City -3 everywhere I could. That is not to pat myself on the back as much as to say it seemed pretty clear to me that the Chiefs were a level up, that they were in a category a little bit different than Buffalo, that maybe there wasn't an equal in the AFC. But as I'm trying to figure out, well, why is this spread 3 when it feels like it should be 5 or 6, that's also how I felt last week. So there is a precedent for this, I guess is what I'm saying. You just go back to this past weekend against Buffalo, and I think the Bills were a better team this year than Tampa Bay, kind of circuit to circuit, start to finish. Now, Tampa Bay, to your point, is hotter. I mean, the Bills came in on a roll. They hadn't lost since the Hail Mary play, and they, too, were winning and blowing people out. But I think the Bucks just seem to have whatever that, like, magical carpet ride feel to them is going for them now, having gotten around further, having won 7 straight games, having Tom Brady, who you trust at quarterback. But it's the second straight week, if the line doesn't move, that they're only going to be favored by 3 points. The other part of this is when we started the conversation with Bruce Arians talking about Tampa Bay playing at home and why that's a detriment in his mind, no, not a help. I wonder if that's part of this at all. Like, what do the odds makers think about that? You normally get 3 points for being at home. Unequivocally, obviously, they're not going to get 3 points. I understand. You're talking about several thousand people. Most of them are healthcare workers. There's not going to be a ton of Chiefs fans there. There's not going to even be a lot of Bucks fans there, I wouldn't think. But I'll bet you Vegas is going to give them some edge because you're still parking and driving where you normally drive, and you're not flying and you're not traveling, and you might get to sleep in your bed a couple extra nights.
Yeah, you're not changing time zones, man. It's a thing.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into playing on the road other than just how many fans are there wearing the other team's colors. So do you think that's worth a point or two for Vegas, possibly?
Yeah, again, we're working back from a place where we're a little bit confused. And it's not, I don't think it's too out of whack, right? I would have guessed 4.5 maybe at the outset, and maybe it gets bet up a little bit. But it tells me that there's plenty of folks that like Tampa Bay here, not only just to stay competitive, but to win the football game. And I really think it's that Kansas City offensive line that is at play here as to why Tampa, you're not going to stop Kansas City. I mean, the weapons are too good, Mahomes is too great, but are enough plays made? Maybe a turnover or two, maybe your sack fumble, maybe a drive killer here and there, and Tampa can go shot for shot with them. I think maybe that's the formula, and I think that's what's on the table, I think, for a lot of folks.
Well, I completely think that Tampa Bay's defensive line will keep them in this game, and it's certainly not going to be a blowout. You know, it's not going to be a game like we just saw with Kansas City and Buffalo that's not competitive midway through the second half. The reason for that is, and you mentioned this, but that front, where Ndamukong Suh is very difficult to defend one-on-one. I think Vita Vea, who they drafted in the first round when Washington got Theron Payne, is as good a nose tackle as there is in the league. Jason Pierre-Paul is still an elite pass rusher. Dozen sacks this year going to the Pro Bowl. You mentioned the speed in their linebacking core with Devin White and Levante David. But Shaq Barrett, who they stand up and use as kind of an edge rusher, outside linebacker, at times a defensive end with his hand in the dirt, you know, he had almost 20 sacks last year. That group tormented the Packers. They destroyed Green Bay's offensive line. And I cannot stress enough how good the Packers' line was this year. That was the one game all season where they didn't have a pass-blocking win rate at the level that was top five in the league, you know, from circuit to circuit, start to finish. That's where they were, and they had their worst. It was, I think, sub 50% or something like that. They completely won the game in the trenches, and I don't know that anybody thought they were going to. Now you give them a chance against a backup left tackle and a backup right tackle and some interior linemen who are also rans from places like Minnesota and Washington. They should be able to win there. Can they make that mean something, though? Or is Patrick Mahomes still going to be able to extend plays and get away from the oncoming rush and throw the ball down the field? I guess that's the big question.
100%. And listen, Andy Reid's not no fool. He's very aware of his personnel situation. He's aware and he knows what the counter is. And then on the other side, Todd Bowles is no idiot either. He's going to influence action as much as he possibly can. In other words, if he loads up to blitz to deal with some of these backup offensive linemen, and Todd Bowles, he loves blitzing like I love carbohydrates. I mean, he wants to come downhill and wants to attack and wants to ruin things and change your timing. Well, now you know. Andy Reid's going to know that. So now you're thinking, okay, here comes the short stuff. So now Todd Bowles will load up on that, maybe try to prevent some of those things. That's going to be kind of the live chess match that goes on. Can you block some of these things up to do what makes Kansas City's offense so lethal? We know how precise they are to Kelce underneath and in the middle. We know about the reverses to Mecole Hardman and Robinson. And, you know, to me, the thing that makes Kansas City's offense different than everybody else is the you have no idea it's coming, and here comes one of the million deep options to Tyreek Hill. The explosive play that goes for 75 yards when you were caught on your heels because you thought it was a run. You know what I mean? That's the kind of stuff that is Kansas City going to be able to get the look they want, block it up, and have time to develop to let Tyreek Hill run past people. That's where the chess match is going to come in, because if you're Bowles, you can't let that happen, but you also have to take advantage of your matchup advantage.
I think those plays will be there for them, and they're going to need those big chunk plays. Yeah, they're going to have to score 77-yard four-play drives, because I don't think they'll be able to go 9, 10, 11 plays with this offensive line. Someone's going to get called for holding. Mahomes is going to take a shot. You know, something's going to go wrong. So it's going to have to be Hill getting free in the space on the outside, or Travis Kelce down the seam for 29 or 32 yards. It's going to have to come in chunks, I think, for them. against Tampa Bay. Much more on this game as the show continues on Grant and Danny. Next, John Carlson scored a goal for the Caps in an unlikely win, undermanned last night, just a blast to watch. We'll ask him about it in moments right here on The Fan.
And Danny on Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan.
Backhand shuttle across to Carlson. Manning Ovechkin's office tonight. Back on the right-hand side.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Side for Backstrom. To Schultz, a one-timer that tips up in the air, and he scores!
Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. One of a couple of goals and 7 points for John Carlson on the young season. The Caps have gotten at least a point in every game they've played. And they're doing it right now undermanned and without several of their top stars. But with TJ Oshie, John Carlson leading the way, the Caps, and with some help from some Hershey Bears, are still getting big wins. And John joins us now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. John, I got to tell you, last night watching that game, it's funny to say this with you guys having won Stanley Cup and so many playoff series. I don't remember the last time I enjoyed a win that much with so many of those young guys and lesser-known Capitals elevating their games. You have all the players you had missing before it started, and then you lose Backstrom and Eller in game. What was it like on the bench last night?
Yeah, I think it was definitely unique in that sense, something that we haven't been too used to, thankfully, and hopefully we'll get back to full strength soon. But it definitely felt a lot more like a gutsy win. I think you take a little bit more pride in how it all went down, you know, prior to the game, and then making those adjustments and losing our top two centers at the same time pretty much was not ideal. But certainly, I think we talked about it after the game, how gutsy of an effort it was, and that we should feel proud of that.
What's Coach Laviolette's message there? Where it's like, okay, here's a couple guys that are going to wear name tags for a few days so you guys get to know them, figure out who's who and who's lining up where. I mean, what's the message like as you guys are playing beyond shorthanded, John?
Yeah, I think kind of two things. I mean, obviously there's a lot of opportunity there for guys that either think that their roles need to be elevated or that they're waiting behind an Ovechkin or a Backstrom, rightfully so. And to get those opportunities and make do with them is great, but it also kind of has a little more of a lasting effect as well. I think when guys do get elevated and show what they can do with the more minutes, you know, different types of minutes than they're used to getting, and perform well, that'll carry on throughout the season, you know, wherever they are slotted down the road too, and that's a great thing for our team right now.
We're joined on Grant and Danny by one of the NHL's best defensemen and top American skaters, and that's John Carlson. We're happy to have him with us throughout the season every Wednesday at 2:45 here on The Fan. John, as far as Vitek Vanecek goes, I hate to overstate this, but this is why I love sports. If not for a couple of terrible things that have happened, in the case of Henrik Lundqvist having to have a heart surgery and the COVID protocol situation and the COVID test, for Sammy, he's not even in the NHL right now. And this guy's standing on his head and carrying you guys. What have you seen from him between the pipes?
Yeah, he's been awesome. And that's, like you said, those are, you know, sometimes you need some luck. I think he's obviously would be deserving of a chance in the NHL, regardless of everything that did happen. But, yeah, there's a time and a place for everything, and he certainly, you know, caught some good luck for himself coming into the season. And hey, he's showing what he can do. He's been in Hershey for a while, and you know, kind of been one of the best goalies down there for a long time. And I've seen him around camps and stuff, obviously every single year. So we know what his potential was. But it's great to see him, you know, come in and make the most of his opportunities, like we all expected him to do, to be honest. But it's a feel-good story of a kid that has battled and worked really hard and got his chance and is making the most of it.
John, you mentioned kids. It wasn't that long ago that you were the kid, that you were the guy that was, you know, the upstart, the hot shot, the prospect. I know it may feel like a long time ago to you, but not to me. As a guy that's watched his team his whole life, you got a guy like Connor McMichael. You mentioned Vanecek and otherwise. What do you say to those guys, if anything, before they're, you know, making their debuts? They're probably coming out like the Tasmanian devil, just want to make such a great impression with this veteran club. Any words of advice to those guys?
Yeah, I think I kind of always try to share the same message with anyone, you know, playing their first game or jumping into a big role. It's just, there's a reason you're here. I think there's no flukes getting to this level. They're all amazing players. They've all been the best goalie, the best center, the best, you know, guy on the half wall on the power play. They're literally their entire life before they get to the NHL. And, you know, careers change paths in a lot of different ways once you turn professional. And the capabilities that they have are just as good as anybody else kind of walking before them, save for, you know, the top 5 or 10 players in the world the last 10 years. So just be yourself, have fun with it. You're clearly good enough to be here, and don't let the moment get the most of you, because it's easy to, you know, think of it as such a big step, which it is in your career, but for your talent and ability, it really isn't. It's just play your game to the best you can, and you're definitely deserving to do it, and you're going to perform if you have that mindset.
John Carlson of the Caps will be with us all season long on Wednesdays. We're pumped about it, Carly. Thanks so much. Congrats.
Thanks,
on the
bud.
Goal and the win last night.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Look forward to being on with you guys this year.
Yeah, we're pumped, dude. We're really, really excited. It's going to be fun all season long. The Caps looked primed for what could be another deep run. Let's pivot to the Washington football team next and the potential of adding Matt Stafford. You're listening to Grant and Danny.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or
I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.